A text, a portion of the gospel lesson read a moment ago, the very, very end of the parable of the good, the very well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Jesus had a habit. If we read closely in these Gospels, he had a habit of redefining words and concepts that are very, very, very well known to humanity. So well known that when we hear the words, we don't really even think about what they mean. It's almost like water off a duck's back. Oh, there's that word again. We automatically associate it with something. Jesus, when he speaks, has a tendency quite often to pause us to cause us to pause and to ponder and to think a little bit more about what it is that he's saying. Now, this parable of the Good Samaritan is, as you well know, a parable that is very, very, very easily lends itself to an interpretation of, this is what I got to do. And if I don't do it, then there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with my faith. And indeed, the parable is told within the context of a question of an individual who was basically asking just that. What must I do? There it is, you see. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, in replying with this parable, after his statements about the law, seems to go along with this man's idea of doing something to inherit eternal life. Unless we realize that Jesus may be up to something else. And certainly, as we listen closely, I believe that he is. And I think that he is doing once again what he has done elsewhere, and that is take a very well-known concept or word for which we have a definite definition, and he is applying it in a totally and completely different way that sheds light upon his mission. And that's the key. Because you see, Jesus didn't speak just to speak. Jesus did not speak simply to lay out a new moral code or new ethical code. When Jesus speaks, he has a purpose, and that purpose is his gospel. Elsewhere, you will recall in one of the other gospels, an individual comes up to Jesus and says, good teacher. And you'll recall Jesus' reply. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. Now I looked up the definition for good in the dictionary. We all know what it means, right? It's one of those words we hear and we know exactly what it means. I looked up the definition and it said this, if I can read my writing here, having positive or desirable qualities. That's good. That's good. The individual comes up to Jesus and says, good teacher, you individual who have desirable qualities, you, the individual who has positive qualities, Jesus looks at him and he says, why do you call me good? Why do you call me an individual who has positive or desirable qualities? No one's like that, he says, but God. And in so doing, you see, Jesus redefines for us what really is good. Not necessarily what we call good. Jesus says the only good is God himself. We said that in the intro this morning, didn't we? I don't know if you noticed it or not, if you took note of it. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What's good? He is. The Lord is good. And Jesus is simply reiterating that, a redefinition of the word good. Is Jesus here trying to elicit a statement of faith from this individual who calls Him good? I think maybe so. Or how about this one? I looked up the word friend. And the dictionary definition of this one is a person who we know, who we like, who we trust. That's a friend. That's what we think of when we hear the word friend. All well and good. That's the dictionary definition. Jesus comes to us and He says, greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And in so doing, Jesus has totally redefined the word friend. Because now the friend, for Him, is not someone necessarily that we know, like, or trust. A friend is someone we're willing to die for. Well, that sheds a whole new light on it, doesn't it? How many friends do I have? I know a lot of people. I like a lot of people. I trust a lot of people. But am I willing to die for them? And in our text before us, this parable of the Good Samaritan at the very end, Jesus says, in answer to the question, who's my neighbor? Give me a definition, Jesus, of an individual who's my neighbor that I'm supposed to love, is what the man's saying. Jesus replies with the parable and then says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into robbers' hands? The reply, the one who showed mercy toward him. Do you see the new definition of neighbor? The dictionary defines it this way. One who lives near or next to another. That's a neighbor. Later, a little later down, I think the third definition, it says another human being. But Jesus adds to that. He says a neighbor is a human being who needs to be shown mercy. Who needs to be shown compassion. And notice what Jesus will not give this man a definition, an external definition of neighbor. He says, which one proved to be a neighbor? Which of the three that passed by this guy here? We might expect him to say the guy in the road who's beaten up is the neighbor. No. You become a neighbor, Jesus says, to anyone upon whom you show mercy. Now when I look at this and Jesus' definitions of things, I see how woefully short of the mark I fall. By His definition, I'm not good. By His definition, I'm not anyone's friend. By His definition, I am very, 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 very slow to become a neighbor, especially to someone I don't know. Lord Jesus, what am I to do? What is Jesus up to? No one is good but God, He says. And in so doing, He proclaims Himself to be God. You see, He accepted the accolade from that individual. He didn't say, I'm not good. In so doing, Jesus basically says, I am God. And who is willing to lay down his life for his friends? Who is willing to lay down his life for another human being? Well, Jesus himself did just that. He's the friend of the human race. And who is the one who proved himself to be our neighbor by showing mercy to a sinful humanity? It is Jesus himself. You see, by his redefining, Jesus proclaims the very heart of the gospel. To make him out simply to be another moral teacher, a great philosopher, is not to do him any kind of justice at all. He came for one purpose, and that is to reveal the gospel of God. And rather than despairing when I hear Jesus' redefinitions, I rejoice, because I hear in them a proclamation of God's grace for me. Because you see, Jesus is good. He is my friend. And he is my neighbor. Amen.